So this may be the beginning of our show. I don't know. But are we going to talk about what we saw today? Can we talk about what we saw today?
Why wouldn't we? Sure.
I mean, I don't know. It's a little bit more, I think, poignant for me and Jeremy, because we've read all the way to the end. But
well, it's just super spoilery. Like, I'm fine talking about
it. It's very spoilery, but we could... dude, it's...
It's big.
Let's talk about it a little bit, Jeremy. Let's be vague.
Sure, we can do that.
I mean, I don't know, because I always took it as Perrin was just like, I'm done with this game, and just, you know.
Yeah.
But I didn't fucking... Dude, the fact that she was, you know, he was compulsed and...
Yeah, being manipulated the whole time.
She's still alive.
Which is crazy.
After the last battle.
So basically, the short version is someone dies at the end of the books, and we all just found out today that they're not dead.
Yes.
Well, and they said it's not a retcon thing. That they said, like, they wrote it with this intention, and it was supposed to be that way. And I was like, holy mother of shits.
Even with the grain of sand that I know, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Totally, because we've talked about how there have been times when could have just ended shit. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, you know, she comes across Rand when he can barely fucking hold his dick.
Yeah.
You know, same with Perrin, you know, before they get super strong in their ways. And she, you know, there are so many times when even, you know what, and when actually when I read it, when I was watching the video, I was like, oh, I always thought it was kind of weird that she just didn't try to attack them. She could kill Moraine. She could kill Rand. She could kill, you know, Nynaeve, all right there. They're all kind of suspended in time. They're completely defenseless. And she doesn't even attempt to.
Is that why Rand wears those like half chaps so that he can find his dick so he can get better at holding his dick?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing is, so I came across a couple of things that, and you'll get to it pretty quickly. It's in, have you started Dragon Reborn yet?
Yes.
Have you gotten to the end of chapter 2, I think?
No.
Okay. So you'll get to that really quick. And it's nothing crazy. It's a moment when,
and I just want everyone to know, I gave it an honest try. I listened for more than an hour today on 1.3 speed, and I got to the end of chapter 1.
So it's a long first, like, fucking 5 chapters or
prologue
so.
is 45 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. The prologue, I was listening to it today. I'm like, okay, I can't listen to this prologue again.
It's fucking amazing.
It's good, but I was wanting to get into the meat of the story because I was kind of like I was afraid I was behind you. And I was like, okay, he's not going to give a shit about the prologue. Well, wrong again, Justin. Without being too spoilery, maybe he can't even do this. Maybe he can't even do the sword at this point. At a certain point.
He hasn't tried.
He doesn't have a sword anymore. So when he needs it, he'll just channel basically his Heron Mark blade, but made of fire.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's in the one clip that we listened to, Des, where he...
Oh, did he lose his Heron Mark at the end of book 2?
It, like he said, it melted in...
Is it gone?
I mean, somebody.
Spoilers.
Never comes back.
Never comes back.
No way.
Yep. Dad's sword's gone.
Oh, grounded.
When he does finally get to a point where it's like one of the first things that he can do, like anytime he needs to, is to channel that sword of fire. And I think part of it is he's familiar with it and he's confident that he can do something with the sword as well. So it kind of helps him focus. But by book 5 and 6, he's to the point where like he just kind of starts to do stuff and it's really amazing.
Can he channel a 3-foot dildo and just smack people with it? Or is it only swords of fire?
Technically, it would be air. So, you know.
Okay. I just want to know.
It would hurt.
I mean, ooh, it would be fire. Burning. You're so tough.
My anus feels like burning is how that would go. But Rand is at a point where he's learning to be able to get to the point in the void where he can fill himself with Sidene, but then he doesn't know what to do with it. And, you know, so it's a little thing where it's like him and Perrin are talking and he's like, I couldn't do anything. He's like, but I thought about bringing the mountain down us. Perrin's like, I'm real glad you didn't do that.
These are all in early Dragon Reborn. Like I said, if the people out there can't...
The one I just talked about is like the 5th book, but it's like, okay. I think it's really important. And I think that it could come in. One reason I was thinking about doing it is because I think that if they're going to move the show along as fast as they are, I feel like he might get his teacher maybe even at the end of this season, but definitely next season. Don't shake your head, Jeremy.
Nah, it'd be next season. because the whole next season is Shadow Rising.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I was thinking maybe we might get like how we got a peek of the Sanchan, you know, just you know, rolling over that little girl. Maybe you get a group of a picture of the peddler's wagons with the really fat lady and the Gleeman, you know?
Yeah, that's very possible. I think that it's probably going to end on the stone. That's how I think it's going to end, on the Stone of Tyr and probably the Battle of Falm. And I think you're going to have Perrin is in Falm and maybe Matt with him, but Matt might be.
No, Matt's got to be at the stone. Matt has to be at the stone, dude.
He doesn't have to be anywhere.
Well, you know what? After the first season. All right, let's get into this.
Hey, you know what? Matt should have been in with Uno and all those guys. Where are they at?
Basically trying to catch up to Rand. They go to Kinslayer's Dagger.
Yeah, but what's the no, I'm talking about in the first book, Matt should have gone through the ways to get to
Faldara.
I couldn't think of Faldara.
Or as Desmond likes to call it, Dalfara.
Yes.
Yeah, so Matt was supposed to be there and he didn't go there. That was an even bigger oops. That's not his that's not their fault. I mean, the guy just didn't come back.
Yeah. He was like, well, I'm done.
In season 3, Matt's going to be played by Dave Franco, so.
I love Dave Franco. He's going to kill it. He's going to kill it. I know it.
Season 4, he's played by Bobby Lee. Now we're always.
Yes. Fantastic. Can you even remember what you're going to say, Justin? I dare you.
I do. The other ones I wanted to talk about were kind of like just the Karakarn.
Season 4, Kevin Hart.
Who's he gonna play? Who will he play?
He's gonna play Matt. They're gonna change him every single year.
Every year we get a new Matt. That's the whole shtick. And then season 5, it'll be like
you gotta do a gender swap.
Yeah, I was just gonna say
no. It's gotta be The Rock right after Kevin Hart.
Well, okay, Rock. You're right. It's gotta be.
Then
The Rock.
You go to like a super like
Mindy Kaling.
Totally like yeah.
If this was like 2 years ago, it'd have been Betty White. And that would have been perfect.
No, they would have been twins. It would have been Betty White, Sandra Bullock.
There you go.
You know what? As the king of the one-liners, I think we can do this.
She would have, you know what? She'd have been great. Honestly, can you imagine her with the Ashendari and the hat and everything? And she's all, she gambling all night long, getting all bleary, waking up all bleary-eyed and hungover. Yeah, it'd be good.
Matt's coat was wrinkled like he slept in it. Because he fucking did.
We'll keep your stuff kind of on the back burner. I think it's good stuff, Justin, but we'll just try to hold off.
Well,
on
I got
it.
Some stuff that'll be topical that's not too far ahead that I think will be important to this season, and I just wanted to throw it out there and see what you guys thought. A couple of them are a little too far ahead. We can definitely wait on them.
Well, and it'll help too that you guys are gonna be able to go ham on book 3 here any minute. So, because like I said, if the listeners can't keep up with me, then they deserve to be spoiled. That's my
yeah. Well. That's why I said I started over and I'm like, okay, I'm going to start like picking out some stuff that I think should.
So how much of the prologue of the Dragon Reborn, because they set up some pretty gnarly shit of pitting themselves against each other just to basically draw Rand out. How much of that comes to fruition and how much of it is just the bad guy beating his chest? I can't remember any names. I'm sorry. I'm terrible with names. So I can't remember.
Are you talking about with the White Cloaks?
Yeah. He tells one guy, if he dies, I'm killing your whole family. And then he tells the other guy, if you don't kill him, I'm killing your whole family.
Right.
Yeah, that's the Jastrum Caridian. I can never remember how his name is pronounced.
Jastrum Caridian.
But yeah, he's...
It's pronounced David Caridian.
He has one of the hardest jobs because he's a bad guy, obviously. And he's a dark friend, but he's also a White Cloak.
I think they just fuck with him because like you're the worst kind of dark friend. They're like, you're just going to give you like the most impossible task, you piece of shit.
Yeah. You think you're the most sanctimonious.
Like you're fucking everybody over. Yeah. You're a piece of shit.
Well, and they call everybody a dark friend in that conversation. They call Rand a dark friend. They call Aes Sedai dark friends. They call the whole Two Rivers dark friends.
Yes.
To the White Cloaks, though, they are, because that's just they're such zealots. Like, that's their that's your answer for everything.
Exactly.
Well, why did they do that? They're dark friends. Why do you like popcorn with too much butter? Because they're dark friends. motherfucking dark friends, dog. You can't trust
Believe
them.
Believe it or not, no butter, no butter, dark friend. Butter, too much butter, not enough butter, dark friend.
Dark friend.
Also dark friend. Also dark friend.
Oh, you undercook a chicken? Dark friend. You overcook a chicken? Believe it or not, dark friend.
Overcook, undercook, dark friend.
You undercook chicken? You are trollic, not dark friend. You undercook human? Trollic.
You eat trollic? You're just a trollic. Sorry. Some things I can't change.
Also trollic.
Also trollic. And then I know we've talked about this a little bit. I know we've talked about portal stones, but I don't care if we've talked about it before. I'm willing to take another deep dive on Flicker Flicker.
That's fine. That's a good one. Because that whole scene is really good. And I really think we're going to get some version of that in season two.
I hope you're right. I think that would be good. I really do.
I mean, we might not even get the Flicker Flicker part, but we should at least get that scene with the Madral nailed to the fucking wall and all that shit in the village where it's...
Well, that's going to happen. We've seen that.
Yeah. But, you know, they're in that village and, you know, like they go see like what happened before they got there. You know, they see the family having dinner and then all that shit. And it's fucking creepy. And I, you know, well, let's get into the clip and then talk about it.
Thank the light, everyone. I am Flicker, Flicker, Flicker. Flicker. And then I was doing the greatest lost podcast that ever existed. Flicker, 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 flicker. And then Justin and Desmond were rewatching The Big Lebowski over and over again and talking about it. Flicker, flicker, flicker. And then I saw Jeremy and I going from bar to bar talking about all the wonderful beers we were doing. Flicker, flicker, flicker. And these are my Wolf Brothers.
I am your thirsty guy in the desert with a shufa on his face.
Flicker, flicker, flicker. I watch Revenge of the Jedi because I'm from the alternate timeline.
Oh! Where not only did Guido shoot first, but Han's dead.
No, alternate timeline, Han is still alive.
I interviewed a potential employee today that goes by Han.
So he's hired. So
yeah, he is.
And I'm hairy like Chewie.
Yeah, like Chewie. Like Chewie. I'm like Chewie.
I told you I call my nephew C2T2, right?
No.
Because he's one of those four namers. His full name is Charlie Cormac Charlie Trigg Trotter. So two C's, two T's. So he's C2T2.
It's a dope nickname.
He doesn't like it, but he'll fucking learn.
He better.
He'll figure it out.
Tell him to be cooler. Come on, Cormac. That's a cool nickname, man. It's better than Fatty. That's my nickname. I love my nickname, and it's still better than that.
Welcome to the Wheel of Time podcast. We are your true source of purest light, your companion cast, a warder, if you will, for this journey through all things Wheel of Time. Today, if you haven't figured it out, we're going to be talking about the next level of portal stones. And I want to go deep, deep, deep on this because from what I hear, it's not really going to come back. And if it were up to me, I would just do a whole podcast about Rand flickering from timeline to timeline. I'd be doing crossover episodes with Time Pop, and that's just all I would be doing. But I got to take it while I can get it. You know, God forbid it doesn't come up at all in the show and they just gloss right over it. Then I'll be really sad. So we're going to be listening to The Great Hunt, Chapter 37, What Might Be. And this is Rand. I'm skipping over a lot. And we're going to listen to a lot, too. I'm going to cut it down for the episode. But here live, we're going to listen to a lot of it because I want to get to a couple flickers. But Rand, is this the first time he's using a portal stone? Or is it just that he's under duress? It's just like, fucking, and he's like, well, let me just think about this. And they're like, shut the fuck up and get us out of here.
No, I think it's more of, so the first time he uses one, I don't think he used it. It's when Selene. Since we're spoiling it, Lanfear.
A person to be named later, I think. A player to be named later.
An artist formerly known.
Yeah, so she uses it to transport Rand, Loial, and Huron to this weird, like, world. And then to go back, she tricks him in, like, saying, like, oh, you can use the power, or you just have to concentrate on this symbol. Because she knows which symbol to look at. But when Rand uses it the second time, he's just kind of guessing. He doesn't really know which symbol it's supposed to be. And also, I think he doesn't know how to use the power so great. So maybe he puts too much power into it or not enough power into it. So issues happen.
Or his mind wanders mid-surge.
Or it's just like, you know, first time you try to fucking poach an egg, it might fuck it up. Yoke's on you, buddy.
Or it comes out perfect the first time, and then the second time you try to recreate it, and you're like, well, what happened? It came out perfect the first time.
Exactly. I did it so right the first time. Well, you don't really understand the science behind it. Put some fucking vinegar in that water, boy.
The Great Hunt, Chapter 37, What Might Be.
He reached for it, and it filled him, made him alive. He did not move a muscle, but he felt as if he were quivering with the rush of the one power into him. The symbol formed itself, an arrow piercing a circle, floating just beyond the void, as hard as the stuff it was carved on. He let the one power flow through him to the symbol. The symbol shimmered, flickered. Something is happening, Baron said. Something, the world flickered. The iron lock spun across the farmhouse floor, and Rand dropped the hot tea kettle as a huge figure with ram's horns on its head loomed in the doorway with the darkness of winter night behind it. Run! Tam shouted. His sword flashed and the Trolloc toppled, but it grappled with Tam as it fell, pulling him down. More crowded in at the door, black mailed shapes with human faces distorted with muzzles and beaks and horns, oddly curved swords stabbing at Tam as he tried to struggle to his feet, spiked axes swinging, red blood on steel.
What do you think this is, Jeremy? Is this him just kind of reliving this in a nightmare? Do you think he's revisiting that night somehow at the portal stone?
I think he's seeing what could have happened.
Like the alternate versions of that night?
Exactly, because what happens is, what the first thing is, Tam jumps forward, he kills that first Trolloc, it falls in the doorway, and it blocks the other guys, and he's like, run! This time, he kills the Trolloc, it falls on top of him, instead of falling backwards, and then, so that slight little, that one little change, is this is my opinion.
Changes everything.
Exactly, this is my opinion, it's like, you know, this slight little change, it could have been completely different.
Well, that's your kind of time travel tie-in, that's your butterfly effect, you know?
Yep.
One little thread in this pattern is slightly different, laying over a different one, and it affects everything going forward after that.
The dominoes fall a different way.
And then Ashton Kutcher's never born.
No!
He threw himself over the table to help his father and screamed again as the first sword ran through his chest. Blood bubbled up into his mouth and a voice whispered inside his head, I have won again, Luz Theron. Flicker. Rand struggled to hold the symbol, dimly aware of Varen's voice. Is not. The power flooded. Flicker. Rand was happy after he married Egwene and tried not to let the moods take him, the times when he thought there should have been something more, something different. News of the world outside came into the Two Rivers with peddlers.
So what I'm thinking is that the way he's doing this, that everyone is kind of seeing something.
That's absolutely true, because if you remember, this is when Egomar, right? Not Egomar, Ingtar. Ingtar's like, I walk in the light. He's like grabbing him. He's like, I walk in the light.
Not everything we're about to hear, we've seen a different version of, right? Some of this stuff is actually in the future, isn't it? Or is all of this alternate versions of what we've seen?
Some of it is like that. Did you ever see that episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation where Picard gets hit by some probe and then he's on some other planet and he lives an entire lifetime?
Oh, I haven't.
Oh, it's pretty good. That's actually really sad.
He lives an entire lifetime as Dr. Xavier.
Yes.
Wow. I totally missed that episode. I got to watch
it. You're good. No, he lives an entire life on this other planet. And it's basically like their planet was doomed. So they sent this out so that they can like keep their memory alive. Oh. So he gets married, has kids, all this stuff, grows old. He's like really old and learns how to play the flute.
Of course he does.
And then wakes up. And then he's like, oh, shoot, like, oh, man, it was all a dream. But it wasn't obviously a dream. It's a really cool episode. All that to say, that's just kind of what happens with that. They, you know, he's with slight changes. Moraine never goes to, in this one that we're about to hear, Moraine never makes it out to the Two Rivers. So he just lives his life and marries Gwen. But then he's also channels. And then he starts to slowly go crazy.
Oh.
Yeah, and basically he starts to kind of rot like a leper, and he gets these headaches, and then after the headaches, lightning and thunder and fires happen, and
I don't know why we're talking. We should probably talk about it after the clip.
After the clip. Sorry. I know. ADD, buddy.
Always news of fresh troubles, of wars and false dragons everywhere. There was a year when neither merchants nor peddlers came, and when they returned the next, they brought word that Utter Hawkwing's armies had come back, or their descendants at least. The old nations were broken, it was said, and the world's new masters, who used chained Aes Sedai in their battles, had torn down the White Tower and salted the ground where Tar Valon had stood. There were no more Aes Sedai. It all made little difference in the Two Rivers. Crops still had to be planted, sheep sheared, lambs tended. Tam had grandsons and granddaughters to dandle on his knee before he was laid to rest beside his wife.
His wife who liked to drink.
And the old farmhouse grew new rooms. Egwene became Wisdom, and most thought she was even better than the old Wisdom Nynaeve Almira had been. Egwene grew frightened when the moods were on him. For strange things sometimes happened when he was at his bleakest. Lightning storms she had not heard listening to the wind. But she loved him and cared for him and kept him sane. Though some muttered that Randall Thor was crazy and dangerous.
That Rand dude's nuts.
When she died, he sat alone for long hours by her grave, tears soaking his gray-flecked beard. His sickness came back, and he wasted. He lost the last two fingers on his right hand, and one on his left. His ears looked like scars, and men muttered that he smelled of decay. Yet when the dire news came, none refused to accept him at their side. Trollocs and fades and things undreamed of had burst out of the blight, and the world's new masters were being thrown back. So Rand took up the bow, he had just fingers enough left to shoot, and limped with those who marched north to the River Tarin. Men from every village, farm, and corner of the two rivers, with their bows and axes and boar spears and swords that had lain rusting in attics. Rand wore a sword, too, with a heron on the blade, that he had found after Tam died, though he knew nothing of how to use it. And at the Tarin, the people of the two rivers met the invaders. Endless ranks of Trollocs led by nightmare fades beneath a dead black banner that seemed to eat the light. Rand saw that banner and thought the madness had taken him again, for it seemed that this was what he had been born for, to fight that banner. He sent every arrow at it, straight as his skill in the void would serve, never worrying about the Trollocs forcing their way across the river or the men and women dying to either side of him. It was one of those Trollocs that ran him through before it loped howling for blood deeper into the two rivers. And as he lay on the bank of the Tarin, watching the sky seem to grow dark at noon, breath coming ever slower, he heard a voice say, "I have won again, Luz Theron." Flicker. The arrow and circle contorted into parallel wavy lines, and he fought it back again. Baron's voice, "Right, something." The power raged. Flicker. Tam tried to console Rand when Egwene took sick and died just a week before their wedding. Nynaeve tried too, but she was shaken herself, since for all her skill she had no idea what it was that had killed the girl. Rand had sat outside Egwene's house while she died, and there seemed to be nowhere in Emmon's field he could go that he did not still hear her screaming. He knew he could not stay. Tam gave him a sword with a heron-marked blade, and though he explained little of how a shepherd in the two rivers had come by such a thing, he taught Rand how to use it. On the day Rand left, Tam gave him a letter he said might get Rand taken into the army of Ilion, and hugged him, and said, "I've never had another son or wanted another. Come back with a wife like I did if you can, boy."
A real drunk one.
"But come back in any case." Rand had his money stolen in Bearlon, though, and his letter of introduction, and almost his sword. And he met a woman called Min who told him such crazy things about himself that he finally left the city to get away from her. Eventually, his wanderings brought him to Camelin, and there his skill with the sword earned him a place in the Queen's Guards. Sometimes he found himself looking at the daughter heir Elaine, and at such times he was filled with odd thoughts that this was not the way things were supposed to be, that there should be something more to his life. Elaine did not look at him, of course. She married a tyrant prince, though she did not seem happy in it. Rand was just a soldier, once a shepherd from a small village so far toward the western border that only lines on a map any longer truly connected it to Andor. Besides, he had a dark reputation as a man of violent moods. Some said he was mad, and in ordinary times perhaps not even his skill with the sword would have kept him in the guard, but these were not ordinary times. False dragons sprang up like weeds. Every time one was taken down, two more proclaimed themselves, or three, till every nation was torn by war. And Rand's star rose, for he had learned the secret of his madness, a secret he knew he had to keep and did. He could channel. There were always places, times, in a battle, when a little channeling, not big enough to be noticed in the confusion, could make luck. Sometimes it worked, this channeling, and sometimes not. But it worked often enough. He knew he was mad and did not care. A wasting sickness came on him, and he did not care about that either, and neither did anyone else. For word had come that Utter Hawkwing's armies had returned to reclaim the land. Rand led 1,000 men when the Queen's guards crossed the Mountains of Mist. He never thought of turning aside to visit the two rivers. He seldom thought of the two rivers at all anymore. And he commanded the guard when the shattered remnants retreated back across the mountains. The length of Andor he fought and fell back amid hordes of fleeing refugees until at last he came to Camelin. Many of the people of Camelin had fled already and many counseled the army to retreat further. But Elaine was queen now and vowed she would not leave Camelin. She would not look at his ruined face, scarred by his sickness, but he could not leave her. And so what was left of the queen's guards prepared to defend the queen while her people ran. The power came to him during the battle for Camelin, and he hurled lightning and fire among the invaders and split the earth under their feet. Yet the feeling came again, too, that he had been born for something else. For all he did, there were too many of the enemy to stop, and they also had those who could channel. At last, a lightning bolt hurled Rand from the palace wall, broken, bleeding, and burned. And as his last breath rattled in his throat, he heard a voice whisper, "I have won again, Luz Theron." Flicker. Flicker, 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 flicker.
So you understand why Egwene died, right?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, Kinslayer.
No, she died because...
she didn't control her channeling.
Yeah.
She didn't live through the sickness.
Oh, is this the sickness that...
Yeah, if you don't learn how to control channeling, it will kill you.
Well, like, it's like 1 in 3, or maybe it's 2 in 3. It kills like 2 in 3.
Yeah, it's 2 in 3. Only 1 in 3 can learn how to... Like Nynaeve. Basically, either you're like Nynaeve and you figure out...
Is this what Nynaeve healed of her in this lifetime?
No, because she went with Moraine and learned to channel. Like, Moraine started to train her.
Okay.
She's like, "You're going to touch it whether you want to or not, and you might die. So let me train you. Let's come to the tower."
So even the women kind of go mad if they don't...
No, not mad.
It's just channeling sickness. It's just channeling sickness. And it's like, think of it as like, you know...
So like it's like if you kink a garden hose and you never channel, it just backs up until you explode. Unless you
it comes after you touch the power. You'll touch the power the first time. Like, you'll have some, like, the first time Rand does it is he channels into Bella to relieve her
right
tiredness, and he has no idea he's doing it. No one else does. No one has any idea what happened, except Moraine's like, well, that horse wasn't tired. That's all I know. And so once he touched the source within like a week, you get really sick and you will either make it through that or you'll die. And if you make it through that, you become what's called a wilder, right? Because you've figured out a way to kind of like, well, I'm not channeling, so it's all good, you know?
It's kind of like a physical manifestation of the powers that you're going to get. And it's something that can, you know, makes you sick. And like Justin was saying, it's only one in three will survive. But when Moraine is like showing her the little jewel and she's like making it sparkle, 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 that's like the first ways that she's teaching her how to control their power. And if you're taught and someone shows you, it's kind of like maybe you're doing something dangerous.
It's like you dip your finger in and taste the poison and it's like, oh cool, and then you get an immunity to it almost. And then if you just touch it like Rand did the first time he touches the power, he channels a ton. And so I mean, like, it's for him anyway, I mean, it's no small feat to cleanse someone of fatigue. It's hard. You have to know a lot about, like, it's almost like you have to be like a doctor, because if you do the wrong thing, you could just as easily kill them.
You have to build up the immunity to iocane powder.
Yes, yes. But like, no, it's like you have to, it's like the first time you drink tequila, you feel like you're gonna die the next day. Right? After you gave, if you have someone train you, how you go to Mexico, this is how we get the fucking agave. This is how you learn. This is how you make it. You don't drink Jose Cuervo. You drink good stuff. And then you don't feel like you're going to die. Does that make sense?
So one out of three.
Sadly, yes.
I thought the Eagle sold you how to do it. It's the Cuervo gold and then the fine Colombian.
I'll never forget being at a work party once. And we were all partying. And we went over to this, I forget what the Mexican restaurant was. It's down there on the water on the
Taco Bell.
In Seattle. You're probably right. And I'll never forget, we did shots of tequila. And I've taken shots of tequila. I can. I don't hate it, but I can hold it down. And I just took it, swallowed it, was like, that's coming up. And I just walked over to the bathroom. And someone was in the bathroom. And I'm just standing outside the bathroom, just swallowing. And I just got in there just like, oh, my body.
Was it the first shot you took? Like you hadn't been drinking at all?
Oh, I probably had eight.
I bet it was the last one.
No, I had eight beers before and probably eight beers after. But that tequila just bounced right off. But I'll just never forget. Like I could have ran outside and puked immediately. But I was trying to be cool, so I just stood outside that locked bathroom with sweaty palms, just like, come on.
Like a dog.
I hate it. Like a cat. I'm going for the hairball. Dude, I hate tequila because fuck my brother. We were at a fucking company Christmas party one time, and I was just fucking hammered. And he's like, let's have a shot of tequila. And I'm like, nah, I'm fucking drunk. Been drinking Long Island's. Nope. Same thing. That's coming up like fucking Katie barred the door. Johnny, sweep the leg, Johnny. I like kicked that fucking door open. We were at some place out in like fucking Woodbridge, like some club or something. And I was like,
Woodbridge Feed and Fuel.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Kicked that fucking back door open. And it was just like,
give me another Long Island.
Woodbridge Feed and Fuel had the train car that they used as an extra room. They put a train car next to it.
I don't know.
You know what your problem is? You guys shouldn't be drinking that rubber tequila because then it just bounces right back.
That's what Cuervo is. Yeah. It is. It fucking.
It's not made from agave. It's made from rubber trees. And it's gross.
So, all right. So whenever a woman channels.
Or man.
Yeah.
Or man.
It's bull.
It's not exactly the same sickness though, is it?
Yes.
So, no. Okay.
It manifested different with every person.
Hold on. So there's the sickness of when you first start to channel. Okay.
Everyone does that.
And that's everybody does that. But then when Rand, when he starts seeing like he starts going crazy and then he's losing fingers and stuff, that's the taint.
That's the taint on Sidene.
Right. You almost went British on that. That's the taint. I went,
it's crikey. A tight on. That's a tight on crikey. It's a tight on Sidene.
It's toit. Yeah.
Tweet like a very tweet like a tweeter.
But so if a woman channels basically and doesn't get to an Aes Sedai within a week, she has a 2 in 3 chance of dying.
Yes, more or less. Survey says that's what the Aes Sedai say.
Now, if she keeps, can she keep channeling and keep uncorking the sickness, or is it just?
It's not about that. It's
yeah, the sickness is going to come.
You've
no
got
matter
the
what.
Devil in you now, and you've got to deal with it, and then you move on.
Unless someone's there to help you, transition through from start to finish of when you first start, you're going to get that sickness.
And if you don't get the sickness, do you just become a channeler, or are you kind of a weird?
Yeah. Yeah.
Channeler.
No.
Yeah. Well, I think if I'm Jeremy, you can definitely correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like Varen is the one explaining it at one point, and she's like, if you make it past the first time and then you channel again, you will get sick again, and then it will be less bad, and then you will get sick again, and then that's how Wilders build up a block. I could be cocking completely out my ass, but I swear that's how it's explained.
I think that the Wilders build up the block because they don't know that they're channeling. So they have to have something to trigger it.
That's basically what I'm saying, but not quite the same.
I'm not sure about that part where you're talking about that it keeps doing that, because Moraine talks about Nynaeve because she's a Wilder, what they call a Wilder. She channeled for the first time when Egwene was sick and dying from bone fever. And that healed her, but then she got real sick. And they're like, oh shoot, you know, maybe she has, oh no, it's not. And then it went away real fast. And that was it. So that was her. She had channeled. There was no one there to help her, you know, through that. And so she got sick and then she survived.
So that's what I was saying. Like, so in the flicker that we just heard, it was what they thought was breakbone fever, but she didn't get healed.
No. This was because she had channeled.
But in this lifetime, in this timeline that we're following now, she got breakbone.
No. Egwene was really little when she got the breakbone.
Yeah, Egwene was a little girl. And then she will have probably channeled at some point when she's, you know, 16, 17, 18, once, you know, she's been with Rand and, you know, they die pretty fast afterwards.
So. I think 16, because that's how old Egwene is in the books.
But by talking to the wind, I mean, that's channeling in a sense.
But they don't realize it. They just think it is. It's like a.
But that's. It doesn't matter. A lot of people don't realize they're channeling.
No. Egwene's not doing it, though.
Yeah, she is.
In the TV show, she does. Not in the books.
All they say is that. And I think that one.
The TV show's better.
Nynaeve.
No, I've been saying that from the beginning.
Both of you are fired. I was gonna say I hate you both. I think one Nynaeve and Egwene have a kinship because they're very close. Also, women kind of feel like they will meet someone that they don't know can channel, and they're like, God, I just feel like I know this person. I feel like it's because that person can channel. And so, like when she's like, I think I could teach you to be a wisdom. She's kind of sensing the ability in her without really knowing it.
It's like Highlanders. You know, like the immortals, they could sense each other when they get too close.
Yes.
Highlander, the TV show, not Highlander, the movie.
That's kind of okay.
Because in the movie, there's none of that. Well, maybe there is that. But it's definitely in this TV show.
We'll do that next for our Christmas movie next year. We'll do Highlander.
Highlander? Oh, yeah.
That'll be way better than Willow, dude. I'd be down for that. There can be only one. You said it. It's on tape.
I can edit it out.
I can fix that.
Never happened.
He said it. Prove it.
That's true. But I fell down this rabbit hole on YouTube of watching old Siskel and Ebert's of when they would do the best of the year
again,
and the worst of the year.
Are his references not the most like wholesome shit ever? I swear to God. It just makes me want to fucking throw up. I was watching old Siskel and Ebert episodes. Oh, go fuck yourself.
I was watching guys teabag each other all night on YouTube, but
I was watching bum fights last week. Jeremy's like, I was watching high class episodes of Siskel and Ebert. I was watching film reviews.
Film.
He's in said film.
How far back did you go? Did you catch some like 80s shit? Like,
oh yeah. Well, I started in 1990 and then I went backwards every year. But I got to 88 and guess which? Okay, Willow was on one of the lists. Which one do you think it was on? The best of the year?
Two thumbs down.
The worst of the year.
Best of the year.
It was on the worst of
the year. Oh, really?
Yes, it was. And I'm listening to all their criticisms and I was all, I think they're right.
You know, damn it, that's fair. That's fair. Son of a bitch.
It sucked, man, when you're a kid and you watch that, like, I bet if I went back and watched Flight of the Navigator, it wouldn't be that good.
Oh.
It won't be. It won't be.
I dare you.
Falcor the Fuck Dragon? No. Or wait, no, that's Neverending Story.
I will give you $5 if you can watch Cloak and Dagger all the way through.
Oh, God. And I watched that movie so many times.
What's Cloak and Dagger?
So Cloak and Dagger was a movie with Dabney Coleman. And
yes.
his son was like, he's just a kid. And he made up this story that his dad was like a, what is that?
King Ralph, Cop and a Half, Matinee, Sergeant Bilko, Ed, the Joey Tribbiani and Monkey baseball movie.
Oh, no.
Cloak and Dagger and Wizard. And there's two Bill Cosby movies on here that we won't talk about.
I've actually seen like probably three of those movies in the theaters.
Yeah. Yeah. Wizard, definitely. Cloak and Dagger.
Oh, yeah. Definitely saw Wizard.
God, what's Wizard?
That's the Fred Savage, the Super Mario 3 commercial.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Oh, God.
The Power Glove commercial. It's so...
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. I remember.
That one I can watch. That one's good, bad. And then I threw in Cloak and Dagger, and I'm like, wow.
So Justin forgot what Cloak and Dagger was about. Desmond, you want to explain to him?
It's a kid movie. It's like supposed to be a kid movie. And when you're a kid, you're like with the kids. And so you're like, oh, this is so cool. And then you watch it as an adult, and it's like, this is... It's not adult, but it's like...
Who directed this? This is a pederast Hanrahan? Dude, I watched Fletch today for the first time in like 10 years.
Woo! Tangent. So I don't like this.
Okay.
I don't like you. He doesn't like you either.
Ah.
Dez? You best watch yourself.
The sickness, regardless, is weird.
It's a sickness regardless, but you have to think, back when people were channeling and there was the United Tower with men and women, this didn't happen, right? People would go out, they would find people who could channel. Either you'd go out and you'd find people who could channel, and then they'd be like, oh, this kid can channel.
But what if they didn't find you?
They did, because there were academies, and they had stuff that they would look for in kids, and then they would get them tested immediately.
But what if you're in the outer rim and they can't get to you in time, or they
can travel, dude. They go. They got people that you'll see later on. Rand does something.
They had
similar.
Portal stones, man, and that was the slowest way to travel.
No, but they could. That was yeah.
So if you
seriously, he's not wrong.
If you go to the tower now, you're identified as a channeler. They take you to the tower. Do you still go through a week of sickness while they're training you?
No, the first time that you're taught to do it the correct way. So think of it as like this. We're going to turn. Okay. You need to drink from this hose. And if you do it without any fucking training or practice, you're going to open up to a fire hose and like blow your fucking head off. And the first time that they open themselves to the power, they will pull way too much in, and then they don't know what to do with it, and then they get sick. And then if someone teaches you, it's like, oh, here's just a little, you're thirsty.
So the tequila analogy was actually pretty good. If you give a 16-year-old...
More of it like if you're dying of thirst, think about it, if you're dying of thirst and you give someone gallons of water, they're going to die.
They're going to puke at best.
You have to give them a little bit at a time. You have to give them a little bit at a time so that they can... Or if you're starving, you know, you can't just go eat fucking 10 steaks. You'll fucking die. You won't be able to shit. It'll be all over. You have to, you know, eat some broth first. And like, so the first time that she teaches Egwene to touch the source in a small way and surrender to it and just, oh, it's there. Here's a little bit.
Let it flow. Yeah.
Here's a little bit. Here's a little taste. Then you kind of get, you're, it's like, oh, your body's like, oh, okay. This is what we're going to do now. And it gets
on board.
Now
suck the lemon. Now suck the lemon.
Yeah. Get the salt. But then if you do it the first time, usually it's in such a, generally speaking, it's like, you know, any kind of wizard or superpower or anything like that. It manifests itself in a time of great need. And usually you'll just be like, I need it all. And that's when, you know, the superhero kids
kills their
parents because they didn't know how to. Yeah. And this, you know, the superhero kid kills his parents by accident because he doesn't know how to control his power or whatever, you know?
That's the quickening.
anyone who's listening, I think Desmond just shit himself. I'm not sure what happened.
That totally works with the tequila too, because you're like talking about like, oh, okay, you take the shot, you suck the lemon, and you do the salt. And then like, if there's no one there to tell you, you just grab the bottle and you start drinking out of the bottle.
Exactly. You give a 16-year-old a bottle of Cuervo and you walk away. Yeah. There. Might not wake up in the morning.
Two out of three die. Also jail. Also jail. You give minors alcohol, jail.
All right, we're going to listen to a little bit more. And then we're talking about, yeah, specific parts of the Flicker Flicker. We still haven't gotten to the overall Flicker Flicker. So this might be a little much, but I want to get...
...of the world flickering. To hold the one symbol as a thousand of them darted along the surface of the void. He struggled to hold on to any one symbol. Is wrong, Varen screamed. The power was everything. Flicker, 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 flicker.
That's Desmond's favorite fucking part. Is see his big face. Ah, yeah!
He was a soldier. He was a shepherd. He was a beggar and a king. He was farmer, gleeman, sailor, carpenter. He was born, lived, and died in Aiel. He died mad. He died rotting. He died of sickness, accident, age. He was executed, and multitudes cheered his death. He proclaimed himself the dragon reborn and flung his banner across the sky. He ran from the power and hid. He lived and died never knowing. He held off the madness and the sickness for years. He succumbed between two winters. Sometimes Moraine came and took him away from the two rivers, alone or with those of his friends who had survived winter night. Sometimes she did not. Sometimes other Aes Sedai came for him. Sometimes the Red Aja. Egwene married him. Egwene, stern-faced in the stole of the Ammerlin seat, led the Aes Sedai who gentled him. Egwene, with tears in her eyes, plunged a dagger into his heart, and he thanked her as he died. He loved other women, married other women. Elaine and Min, and a fair-haired farmer's daughter, met on the road to Camelin, and women he had never seen before, he lived those lives. 100 lives. More. So many he could not count them. And at the end of every story, as he lay dying, as he drew final breath, a voice whispered in his ear, I have won again, Luz Theron. Flicker, 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 flicker.
How many was it? 37.
37? So this, to me, reminds me of Avengers Endgame, when Doctor Strange says, I've looked at 11,786,232, and we win one of them.
Once.
So we're in the one lifetime where this pans out.
That's major foreshadowing, actually, and good job picking up on it, because it took me about 4 reads to go.
Well, you didn't have Avengers Endgame to lead you to the trough.
These are all the things that could have happened. When one of them, the one where Egwene stabs him in the heart, that's the one that is in Egwene's testing where Rand's trapped.
Oh, yeah.
So that lets you know, to me, that those are a similar version of like the kind of like you can see. Obviously, you'll see Ryudan, Radian, whatever how you pronounce it, is they have something similar to it. And it's obviously, you know, you're seeing flashes of, you know, what could be or what may have been, I suppose.
So to wrap up this real quick. So, yeah, I and maybe I cut it off too quickly, but.
Do we want to finish the thing?
All no, I think it's enough unless what I say right now triggers something in you guys. I thought there was more different lifetimes. I don't think I realized the first time I listened to this that the only thing he's seen is alternate nows.
It's alternate lifetime.
Right.
Because he lives the whole life.
Right, not now, but like, yeah, I thought he was seeing like...
Oh, like distant past, like Age of Legends or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, since...
Yeah, no, it's like things that could have happened in this lifetime. He lived to be old and died in the Queen's Guard.
This is all Rand's lifetimes, not all of Luz Theron's.
Did you catch
timelines.
The one, Jeremy, where they said he lived and died as an Aiel? He was born, lived, and died as an Aiel, so... That means Tam never found him on Dragonmount.
No, they never. It's not that they. Tam never. He. His mom never left. Never left the waste.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Right.
Or maybe even Tam. Oh yeah. No. Tam couldn't have raised him as Aiel. It would not have accepted.
Tam
him.
Found him and then went to the waste and became Aiel. That's not how.
That's
it happened.
Not it. Are we happy?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Thank the light for listening to our podcast. Please rate us. Like us. Tell a friend about our show. Thank the light. Check us out on Twitter. We are Wolf Brothers at Parsailman. That is Wolf Brothers at Parsailman. Send us questions and comments at thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. And I just want to thank our listeners out there. Thank you so much for listening to our show. Thanks for hanging out with us, talking about the books while we make wild stabs. I mean, we got into this because of the TV show, and now we're getting a chance to dig into the books. We're taking wild stabs as to what's going to happen in the TV show. And I appreciate you listening. If you like hanging out with us, maybe you have a friend that wouldn't mind hanging out with us too. So tell someone about it. We have a huge backlog. We've been releasing every week, rain or snow, sleet, fire, smoke,
floods,
hail. We got some hail this morning. Thank you.
It was, you know, it's funny. It was beautiful. 55 degrees and sunny today up here.
We haven't seen that in a long time around here.
Get the fuck out of here. My parents have been without power for like 6 days or something like that. 5 days. Yeah.
And if you don't want to tell anyone in the real world about our show, write us a review on iTunes or Spotify. Rate us, like us, write a little review. Say hi. I've been tracking it, so maybe I'll send you a little shout out. You write a little review, I'll tell the whole world about you.
Yeah.
Hit us up on Twitter, too.
I win again, Luce Theron.
You took mine, you fucking asshole. I'll just let you know this. Rand had a mean temper.
That's true. Right before he started rotting. And another thing I'd like to talk to you guys about. That, you know, I don't know when this happened, but Roger Ebert started getting all of the acclaim for just Siskel and Ebert. But Gene Siskel was the guy who ran that show. And you know what? He had better
taste. He carried the show, but he was a dick.
Yeah, you know what? He loved movies. And if you didn't love movies as much as Gene Siskel did, then he had something to tell you. And that thing that usually told you was, you're not very smart, and he was smarter than you. Gene Siskel was much better than Roger Ebert. And I don't know when this retcon started that Roger Ebert was a genius. He's not a genius. Gene Siskel was. Take that to the bank.
Jeez, get off your soapbox.
No, never.
Everyone out there, never forget, I run this show.
You take credit for the thing they like podcast. Yo, hey, take the light. It's in. Go fuck yourself, EA.
Oh, don't worry. You'll edit this to make it look hilarious.
Somewhere earlier in this episode, we said something really funny, and you already heard it. So I can just leave now.
Insert the comment here.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Oh wait, don't you cut that out? That's probably copyrighted. We'll probably get in trouble for that. Take it out. Take it out. Take it out. Take it out.
I got my stinger now.
Oh, wow. Whoa. That was shots fired.